For more, we go to Slate.com's women who write about politics in their Double X Factor column. Today, we're joined by Dahlia Lithwick and Melinda Henneberger. Melinda, hello in Washington. Dahlia in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hi there, Alex.
So before we get to Hillary's speech tonight, what did you all make of Michelle Obama's performance last night with her speech?
I thought it was really powerful and showed the real Michelle. When people say she had to show some working class roots, she doesn't have any other roots to show. Because here is a woman who, as she spoke about last night, grew up in a family that did not have a lot of resources, with a dad who suffered from multiple sclerosis and got up every morning and went to work and as she said to me before, never complained. So that gave her and her brother Craig the idea, how can we complain about anything? So this is a family whose whole ethic is show up and don't complain.
She also displayed a lot of oratorical skills. Maybe this is what happens
right.
when you go to law school. But here she is in kind of the a closing summation toward the end of her speech.
One day, they and your sons and daughters will tell their own children about what we did together in this election. They'll tell them how this time we listened to our hopes instead of our fears. How this time we decided to stop doubting and to start dreaming.
Dahlia Lithwick, you write today at Double X, you were impressed by her fearlessness, Michelle's fearlessness.
That's right, Alex. It's interesting. I think it you can break it down into a couple different types of fearlessness. You know, she was close to tears at moments yesterday about your children, your husband, and I think that's extremely brave. Not something that necessarily comes easily to her. I thought it was also brave and really fearless for her to embrace again that clip you just played, the language of hope, that we can take charge of our country again. We can reclaim what is great about the American dream. There's been this weird shift in the last couple of weeks in this campaign where everybody's so afraid, terrified, you know, oh, the big Republican meanies, they're going to swift boat us again. And we've sort of become cowards. And she was not cowardly. She's reminded us, I think, so poignantly, other than Dick Cheney, no one in America is better off than they were 8 years ago. And that's our responsibility to correct. So I thought that was fearless, and ultimately I thought it was really, really fearless.
And you referenced fearlessness in this moment at the end.
Hey, Michelle,
you were
unbelievable, and
you
also look very cute.
Thank you.
That's Sasha.
She gave her daughter, her 7-year-old daughter, an open microphone on a stage.
Yeah,
now that's fearless.
Any man doing that? I thought someone was going to come out with a hook, and I looked at her face to see if she was feeling what I would have been feeling if my 5-year-old had a mic in front of America, and she's just kind of completely tranquil. If that's not fearless, Alex, I don't know what it is.
Let's see.
It made me nervous just watching it. I was afraid. Projection? What would my child say?
You're right. You can have these family moments, and they can be just delightful and delirious. Is that one? Was or disastrous. But let me ask you, how is fearlessness going to go tonight? What do you all expect? What does Hillary need to do? And what maybe does the Obama campaign need to do for her?
Well, I think what Hillary needs to do is give it her very best shot. And I fully expect her to do that because not only is it in her party's interest, but it's in her interest. Because if she comes off as the least bit unenthusiastic, if she comes off as the least bit conflicted, that's really not going to look good for her. I think that her supporters need to realize that they may believe that they'll get some sort of, revenge fantasy satisfaction if John McCain is elected in the fall. But I think someone who will be held accountable for that is Hillary Clinton, and her supporters need to realize that.
I completely agree with Melinda. I think rightly or wrongly, Hillary will be blamed if her supporters can't be brought back onto the reservation. And I actually think it's wrongly. At this point, I think she's done everything short of French kiss Obama and suggest that she's, you know, really behind him. There's not that much more she can do. And yet they're just declining her invitation to get with the program. She will be under the microscope again tonight, and she's going to have to pull off something almost impossible, which is to look not disappointed and affected by this race, even though any human being who's endured what she's endured will be disappointed and affected by this race. That said, I couldn't agree more with Melinda that she is going to give one of those brave, fearless, butt-kicking Hillary speech that just drills down on every nuance of policy, the kind of thing that shows that she has terrific command of the issues. She's got this sensational brain. She's going to show us how it's done. And I think that in some sense, whether the party decides to unify behind her or not is ultimately going to be out of her hands.
The writer Susan Faludi has a piece in the New York Times today saying that the disappointment of her followers is historic, really. It goes back to a long tradition of women's suffrage failing to achieve full equality for women. That's what this is.
Well, that, I'm sure, is how her most fervent supporters see it. I fully realize that a lot of women see this, you know, in the historical context of just one more time, we all fell short. But I guess what I would say is if they want to see falling short, you know, they should think about the options in November.
And I would add to that I think one of the things that I've really seen surge to the forefront in this campaign is voters who really over-identify with their candidates. They become so obsessed with the fact that the candidate looks like them. Clearly their suffering is the candidate's suffering. Over and over and over again, what we're hearing from some of these Hillary followers is, I just want to be heard because she wasn't heard. I want to right the wrong that she suffered. Certainly, absolutely legitimate to feel that kind of aggrieved sense that the woman didn't, you know, get the brass ring. But I think it really goes to this problem we're having, this almost narcissistic sense that we can't disentangle anymore the candidate's life from our own. We have so essentialized their story as our story that we can't unessentialize it at the end of the day. And it seems to me that that leads us to make emotional, personal decisions that may not be in the best interest of this country.
And I think we really need all to think about how we've really seemed to have gotten away from voting on issues. It's more, and I don't think, by the way, this is only women voters. I think that all voters seem to need to identify with their candidate in a way that's a little creepy.
Melinda Henneberger and Dahlia Lithwick, contributing writers for Slate.com's Double X Factor column. Melinda, Dahlia, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.